intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, he's intentional, never failing. All things are working
for my good.
'Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
For my good.
He's intentional.
He's intentional.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, encouragement, and empowerment, and we pray that something is said on today to be a blessing to you. I'd like to say welcome to my faithful listeners, as well as those who may be joining for the first time. I know that God has you listening today for a reason. I pray that you are able to receive a word that would encourage your hearts on today. Our topic for today is no more foolishness. And for those of you who pay attention to my social media, I'm sure that you are probably wondering, what is she talking about? Because I didn't list the scripture. But we're definitely going to talk today about no more foolishness. We'll be coming from the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Again, that's the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. And our topic is no more foolishness. I do want to say that we are live today, so I'd like to hear from you. You can give me a call to chat, tell your testimony, or just respond to some of the things that we're talking about today. You may want to encourage someone else who is listening on today. You may want to just, you know, talk about the goodness of the Lord. I have not had an opportunity to speak live with you guys here lately. So today is a good day. It's a beautiful day outside. I know that it's a little bit chilly in some places. I believe the temperature did drop here in Mississippi, where I'm located, just a little bit. But the sun is shining, and the S-O-N, sun, is always shining. So we do pray, you know, again today that we can hear from you. That number to call in is 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. And we're going to just go ahead and pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, God, for watching over us and for keeping us. We thank you, God, for all that you've done in us. And God, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in us. We pray now, God, that you would just lift up those who are discouraged on today, oh God. Touch those who may be sick and afflicted, Lord. God, we pray right now that you would just encourage the hearts of your people and remind them, God, that if they ask anything and believe it in faith, that you will do. God, we trust you just that much. We trust you, God, that you're going to move on our behalf. We trust you, God, that you're going to go before us and make crooked places straight. We thank you, God, that you are a God who is able and is willing to bring all high places down low and all low places up high. We know, God, that the earth is your footstool, so nothing is too big for you. We know, God, that all things are possible in you and through you. And God, we just trust you to move on our behalf in the name of Jesus. We trust ask you now, God, to send your word on today, oh God. Move by your spirit, oh Lord. Speak to me and through me, oh God. Send a word to your people, God, that may encourage them, God, for these next few weeks, Lord, especially at this time of the holidays, Lord, where some may be lonely and may not have family members, God. Let them know that they have you. And God, send somebody by their way, God, to give them a word of encouragement. Send somebody by their way, oh Lord, to spend some time with them and share in this holiday season with them. God, we just glorify you. We magnify you. And we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, because your word is our guidebook. We thank you, God, because your word is our instruction manual. We thank you, God, because you didn't leave us here alone, but God, you sent your Holy Spirit to comfort us and to keep us, oh God. And Lord, we know that as long as we are in you and obeying you, there is nothing we can't ask of you. God, we just thank you again. We praise you in advance, God, for all that you are doing on today, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask you these blessings in faith. Amen. So, for those of you who have your Bibles, grab your swords, grab your internet devices, whether that's your phone or your iPad, whatever it is that you need to use, grab your sword. I don't care if it's just the New Testament, that little small Bible that you get free when you go some places like hospitals and places like that. We're going to the book of Matthew on today. I want you to follow along with me in the word of God so that you can see, first of all, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, but sometimes you just have to put your eyes on that word and read it out loud to yourself so that it will go into your hearing. We have many gates in which we are affected, and the eye gates and the ear gates are very, very impactful when we can see the word of God and when we can hear it for ourselves. So grab your Bibles and go with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And we're going to begin at the first verse. Now, let me just give you some background information as it pertains to these scriptures. First and foremost, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus is speaking. He had started teaching over in the 24th chapter about his return. And so he started to speak in parables. Now, most of us know that parables are simply short stories, but there is a meaning with these short stories. The purpose is to illustrate or to teach a truth. It's to teach religious principles or a moral lesson. So it's not just a story, but it's a story with a meaning. And again, this is what Jesus was utilizing to kind of give people a visual aid. You know, sometimes when you have a conversation with somebody, it may be hard to follow. Or sometimes when you're up teaching a lesson, whether it's in the classroom or in the church, people learn in different ways. So because of this, Jesus began to paint a picture and he began to give examples. And he told a story about a fig tree. Many of us know the story about the fig tree. And he also told the story about 10 virgins. And so the 25th chapter, beginning at the first verse, is where we're going to start talking about these 10 virgins. Just another example or parable that Jesus gave in regard to his return. So the Bible reads as follows. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is come. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were going to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, the other 5 bridesmaids returned. They stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. I've read verses 1 through 13. Here it is. Jesus is teaching using, again, the parable of the 10 virgins, or as it is in the New Living Translation, the parable of bridesmaids, or the 10 bridesmaids. But we know that in him speaking of his return, he is considering or letting us know that he is the bridegroom. You find out from the 13th verse very quickly, he said, you don't know when I'm coming back. So what you need to do is do the things that you need to do on the front end and not be foolish. So that's what we're talking about today. No more foolishness. Now, just going through this lesson, beginning back at the first verse, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is comparable to 10 virgins. So he's letting us know, you know, and I love the fact that the God that we serve doesn't want us to be unwise. He does not want us to be unaware. So he lets us know in several different ways that he is coming back for his church. He is coming back for his bride, and his bride is the church. But we don't want to be foolish like those bridesmaids or like those virgins and go out without any oil in our lamp. So when we look at the third verse, we see that they took their lamps, but they didn't have any oil. They appeared to be doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. It looked like on the outside that they fit the bill. It looked like on the outside that they were saved. It looked like on the outside that they had it all together, as are many of us. Oftentimes, we spend a lot of time worrying about how things look on the outside, but our inside has to be right. And if we are not saved, we're missing a major component. Think for a moment. Jesus has given all of these indicators. People come to church on a regular basis and sit on the pew and leave back out the same way they came in because they were just going through a formality. They wanted somebody to say that they came to church. They wanted somebody to see their new outfit. They wanted somebody to see that new Easter dress, but not realizing all you did was come in and leave back out the same way. That's foolishness, people of God. If you have an issue and you have the ability to get it straightened out, why wouldn't you? If you have a problem, you're running on low, and you have the ability to be refueled or refilled or to get it right, why wouldn't you? And if there is no answer, that's why we call it foolishness. No more foolishness on today, people of God. Think for a moment. In the cars that we drive, there is an indicator that lets us know that we need to refill our gas. So whether yours dings, or if you have a fancy car that talks to you, or some light pops on, whatever it is, there is an indicator that's available for you to let you know that something is missing. As with some of us, we go to the church. Some of us may even be active in the church. We may be a part of this committee or that committee, but never have been saved or baptized, or maybe have been in the church when we were younger and just stopped going when we got older. You have several indicators all around you on a regular basis, whether it's a person, whether you hear something on TV, whether you read something in a book, whether it's revealed to you in a dream. Somewhere along the line, there is an indicator that says to you, I need to get my life together. And oftentimes, it comes in several different ways. You can turn on the radio and hear a song where the Lord is reminding you, you need to give me your life. And you know it's God, because the devil is never going to tell you to get saved or get your life together or give God your heart. So you know it's God speaking to you. You may get to work and the people at work are talking about what happened at church on Sunday and how God really moved and how God really blessed. And you just a part of the conversation, just sitting there nodding and smiling, but you know you're not saved. That's yet another indicator. You go home and your kids begin to talk to you and they say, Mommy, I was talking to my friend and he said that they're going to church, but how come we don't go to church, Mommy? That's an indicator that says to you, okay, I need to get this together because now this is affecting my children as well. And you may even be a person, as I said, that goes and church hops and visits church after church after church. And every time you get to one of these churches, there is an altar call. The doors of the church are open. And every time you don't take the opportunity to get it right, you're ignoring yet another indicator. So like with the car, you're driving down the road and the indicator is saying, hey, you need to get this right. Hey, you need to fill up. Hey, something is missing. Because I don't care how good the car looks. I don't care how new the car is. It needs gasoline to run. And if you're refusing to get the gasoline that the car needs to go, that's foolishness. Here it is. Jesus is talking in detail about his return. And he's breaking this down for the church folks, for the disciples. Because very often we as Christians run into people who are not saved, and we sit and have all these conversations with them, and we sit around and eat with them, and we tell jokes, and many of them are our family members, and this is a season that you're going to run into a lot of these people. Why not talk to them about being saved? We cannot keep ignoring all of these indicators. We have these family members who keep having illness after illness, or accident after accident, all kinds of things keep happening to them. We need to talk to them about being saved and about giving their lives to God. It's not enough to just look the part on the outside. The inside needs to be changed. There's a different preparation for the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Or we can say in this case, the five wise individuals and who are saved, and the five who are unwise or foolish who keep coming to church and who keep playing games and don't want to just give their lives to God and just live right and obey what the word of God is saying. See, it doesn't matter how cute you are, because you know if they were preparing for a groom, they had to be looking their best. They had to have their faces together, and they had to have their hair together, and they had on the right clothes. But that's not enough. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. One thing is for sure. Each person has to be accountable for their own actions and their own choices. And here it is. The five foolish virgins wanted the five who were wise to give them their oil. No, I don't have enough for you. I don't have enough for you. You have to be responsible for your own actions. There are some things that other people can't do for you. It's not enough to just associate with some Christians and think that that's going to get you into heaven. It's not enough to just be a nice person and you give to the needy and you donate your time on Thanksgiving and at Christmas to hand out food at the homeless shelter. That's not enough. It's not enough to just donate clothing and items and such things to the women's shelter, helping out the battered women. That's not enough anymore. You need to go to the gas station and stop and fill up. You need to stop ignoring this indicator, this light that's on and blinking at you and talking to you over and over again, getting louder and louder and louder. Because if you don't, that makes you foolish. You have an opportunity. You don't know how long you have. Things happen every day. This world that we live in, all kinds of things are happening between shootings, you know, all types of fatalities there. Illnesses, accidents. You never know when it's your day. So we have to make sure that we are ready every single day. And I understand that the bridegroom didn't come back right away. I understand that he was giving us some time to get it together. So the five wise and the five foolish were all sleeping. You do get tired. We all get tired, even when we're saved. However, when you wake up and when you realize it's time and the Lord is coming back for his, you want to be able to say that you're going with him. You want to be able to say that I know him and he knows me, and not be like those five virgins who were knocking on the door and trying to get in. And he had to say, I don't know you. We need to make sure that we get our own oil. We need to make sure that we have ample oil, because we don't know and we don't want our fire to go out. We want to remain encouraged. We want to remain focused on God and focused on his word. We want to continue to do the things that we're supposed to be doing. But you can't get to heaven on somebody else's oil. Some would like to think that the five who wouldn't share were being selfish. But it's some stuff you just can't share. I can't get to know Jesus for you. I can't tithe on your behalf and you get the blessing. I can't obey God for you and you get the blessings. See, there are some benefits that go along with salvation, but there are also some responsibilities. You have a responsibility to get to know God for yourself. You can't just have the benefits that belong to the children of God and you're not doing those things. I don't care how many scriptures you quote. I don't care how many scriptures you memorize. And I don't care how you point fingers at other people who you say, well, such and such is saved and they're not doing this or that. You don't know how much they may go home and repent. You don't know how often they're on their knees and talking to God and trying to get it right. You cannot base your salvation and your relationship with God on them. Again, there are some things that you can't get from somebody else. A peace of mind. I can't share that with you. If you want a peace of mind, you have to have a relationship with him for yourself. Knowing how to love your neighbors as yourself. I can't love your neighbors for you. I can't love God for you. You have to learn how to do that for yourself. Even parents for their children. As much as we love our children, one thing is for sure, I can't get it for my babies. I'll do anything I can for them, but I can't give their hearts to God for them. As much as I love my children, I can't tell them, oh, yeah, well, I tithe for all of us. That's enough. When they're babies, yeah, because they didn't have an income. But once they have an income, guess what? They are responsible to learn how to tithe with the money that they've earned. They are responsible to seek God for themselves and have a relationship with him. You cannot have those benefits without the responsibilities that go with them. Don't continue to ignore the warning lights. Don't continue to ignore the indicators. Don't continue to ignore the fact that you need to get some fuel for this beautiful car that you drive. Now, why is it that we sometimes just keep going and we don't want to refuel? Sometimes when we get these warnings, we feel like, well, other people getting warnings and they still driving. No, you don't know how much fuel they have in their car. You need to be concerned about your car. You can't just go and look the part. Yeah, the car looks nice on the outside, like I said. But I don't care how much you shout and hop on one leg and dance and speak in a tongue. You can't just act like you save or act like it's gas in the car and expect it to go. Unless you're driving a Flintstone car and you can just push it with your feet. Now, that's different. And that's not the case here. Sometimes we keep driving because we assume that we have more time. Oh, I know it's low, but it blinks like that all the time. I have enough time. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. Sometimes we keep driving because we feel like, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not really a bad person. I do nice things. I'm pretty sure I have more gas than what this indicator is saying. How do you know more than the manufacturer? Jesus is our manufacturer. God created us. How is it that you know more about the car than Buick? How is it that you know more about the car than Mercedes? How is it that you know more about the car than Chevrolet? If they made it, the indicator is there to tell you. Since I made this and I know the ins and outs of this thing, I'm letting you know because I already know how it operates in and out. And that's what God is saying for us. He created us. He knows us backwards and forwards, in and out, even those things that you don't admit to other people. God knows us. So because he knows us, he knows what we need. And if we are not his, if we have not stopped to fuel up, and get Jesus down on the inside to make sure that we can go, just like with that vehicle. He won't know us. Some people feel like, well, I don't really need to stop and refuel, or I don't need to stop and get gas because I've always been able to get to the gas station in the past. Just because nothing's happened yet doesn't mean you just keep on living foul and doing what you want to do and doing things your way. Just because nothing has happened yet, because you never know. You never know when it's your day. And you don't want to try to wait until the last minute and be crying, Lord, Lord. That's not acceptable. And yet we all have flaws. We've all sinned. But the difference is when you give your life to God, he casts all of those sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He forgets those things which are behind. He forgets about our past. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The difference is when you stop and decide to give your heart to God, you have a clean slate. Some of us don't stop and refuel because we have a false sense of security. Many of us have not given our hearts to God because we have a false sense of security. Just because your car isn't sputtering right now does not mean you're okay. Just because parts are not falling off at the stoplight right now doesn't mean your vehicle is running fine. You have a responsibility to have that vehicle maintenance and give it what it needs in order to go. It's the same thing with our lives. We live in this human body, but we have a responsibility to maintain it properly. Because this body is actually the temple of God. It's where God wants to live in us. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that we need to examine ourselves. Be honest with yourself. You don't ever have to tell me anything. You don't have to be honest with me about anything. You can tell me whatever you want to. But it's time out for the foolishness. Stop being foolish and acting like you don't hear God. Stop being foolish and acting like you don't know any better. Because somewhere, somehow, some way, you've heard a word. Somewhere, somehow, some way, somebody has mentioned going to church to you. Somewhere along the way, somebody has mentioned salvation to you. You are not living oblivious. I don't care even if it was on TV. And like I said, some of us were raised in the church and then became adults and just fell away. That means you're in a backslidden state. Stop ignoring the indicators. Stop with the foolishness. There is a responsibility for those of us who do have that light to make sure that we carry it properly. If you're saved, you need to do like those virgins. When they woke up, they begin to trim their wicks. When you cut away dead things, cut away the part of the wick that's already been burned. When you get rid of sin and some other things in your life, because it doesn't mean that we're perfect because we become saved or because we give our hearts to God. It doesn't mean we're perfect. We still have some times we need to go back and trim our wicks. We need to go back and fast and submit ourselves to God and pray and focus on Him, because we live in this world. And because as we go on from day to day, burning our lamps or burning our torches, just going about our day-to-day lives, things happen. And so there may be some parts that have already been burned, but just trim it away. If you're already saved, get rid of sin. Remember, you cannot have the benefits of salvation without the responsibility that goes along with it. And I know it's easy to point fingers at everybody else, but it's not about what everybody else is doing. It's not about what everybody else is saying. It's not even about how everybody else is living. Stop pointing fingers and trying to judge somebody else's walk with God and trim your wick. Stop pointing fingers and trying to decide, well, you know, such and such ain't right. You know, such and such ain't been to church in a long time. It's not up to us. You give them the word and you move on, because it's not up to you to be judge and jury. You don't want everybody being judge and jury about your situations. You know that stuff you don't tell anybody about. You know those secret faults. You know those little white lies that you tell. You know how you cheat on your taxes on a continuous basis. You know that stuff. You don't want everybody being judge and jury about you and your foolishness. So don't judge people. But know that you need to keep your wick trimmed. That's why you prune trees. You cut away dead branches. You cut away the dead leaves so that you can continue to grow. And it's the same thing with trimming your wicks. Keep your wicks trimmed. Don't be foolish and think just because you gave your heart to God, you can do whatever. It's not okay to give your heart to God and then go back and live how you want to or do whatever you want to. And I know that there may be some people who are listening who feel like, Well, I'm just not ready yet. I don't want to come to God and then go back and do the things that I do. So do you know how much time you have? Because last time I checked, Jesus said that no man knows the day nor the hour. What if it just happens to be that day? If you just stop and think for a moment, wait a minute, if the Lord comes back right now, right this minute, and finds me doing what I'm doing, would he be pleased with me? If the Lord comes back right now, right this very minute, and hears me talking like I'm talking, would he be pleased with me? If the Lord comes back right now at this very state and shows up at my house and it's my turn, would I be saying, Lord, Lord? And he's saying, I don't know you. Think for a moment. If this is an opportunity or a time that you need to ask repentance, trim your wick. It's okay. We all have lamps to maintain. But don't keep walking around with this pretty lamp or this well-lit torch. And you got a fire that appears to be burning bright. And really on the inside, there is no oil. It's just burning off of what was left over. Trim your wicks. We don't know how much time we have. People are leaving here every single day, ignoring the indicators. Don't keep ignoring God. Don't keep bypassing the opportunity to go to the gas station to get fuel. For some who are listening today, that indicator light has been blinking for a mighty long time. And you know better. But remember, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And you don't know more than the manufacturer. You don't know how long you have. But Jesus said in John 6:37, all those who come to me, I won't turn away. What a loving God. What a mighty God. What a compassionate God we serve. He is a forgiving God. I'm so thankful because we all miss it from time to time. But Jesus said, everybody who comes to me, I won't turn you away. You have the opportunity, even right where you are right now, to give your heart to God. If that's you and you're listening on today, call me. Call in right now. We don't need to be at the church house. We can do it right now over the phone. 888-627-6008. Don't keep waiting. Don't keep ignoring the indicators. You can make your confession of salvation right now, and I will point you in the direction of a good church home where you can go to be baptized and be able to make your confession even at that church. But you don't know when you lay down, how much time you have. Many people have gone to bed and didn't wake up the next day. You don't know how much time you have. Stop with the foolishness. Stop with the foolishness. Stop ignoring the indicators. Indicators are there to give us a warning, to advise us that changes need to be made. Stop with the foolishness. When the five foolish virgins came to the wedding, knowing that they weren't prepared, that made them foolish. When you go and sit in church on Easter and holiday season, and you leave back out the same way that you came in, and you know you're not saved, that makes you foolish. When you think that sitting next to somebody or being married to somebody who is saved is enough for you, that makes you foolish. You can't just absorb salvation from being next to somebody. That's just like going to the gas station in your car and just sit next to the pump. It doesn't work that way. You got to get out and get it for yourself. You need to fill up. And if you continue to sit next to the pump, that's foolishness. Call me at 888-627-6008. If you have a testimony, if you want to give your heart to God, if you want to talk about, for those of you who are already saved, if you want to talk about the day that you did give your heart to God, let's talk about it. We want to encourage those who are listening to stop with the foolishness. Tell us your story. It's nothing wrong with going back to reminisce on where God found us, because I know what he's done for me. And many of you who are listening may be already saved. Call us and tell us your testimony so that somebody else can be encouraged. For every blessing, there is a responsibility. When you go and buy that new car, it's not just the car note that you're coming out with. For most of us, you also have to pay some insurance. You have to keep the car maintained. You have to protect it from those who might want to take it from you. But you have to fill up on gasoline. You have to fill up on what makes it go. Don't be foolish any longer. Stop with the foolishness. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't desire a new car? No. We like new. But think about it. Rarely do we just give a brand new car to somebody who can't drive or somebody who has no license. It's best maintained by somebody who's been taught how to drive. It's best maintained by somebody who's been educated on the car. You don't really want to go and get a brand new car and you can't afford the maintenance. It's best that you understand how to keep the car maintained, understand about the car, know what to do with it, know what its purpose is, know what it's used for. Do we know our purpose? Or are we just sitting in the driver's seat with no gas? Do we know what God has called us to do? Or are we just sitting in the driver's seat with no gas, with no clue how to even start the vehicle? Don't you know when you buy a car and you keep it maintained or keep it maintained, it's cheaper in the long run? Because a whole lot of damage can come to your vehicle if you don't keep it maintained. And guess what? If you don't put gas in it and the car runs out of gas, you can affect other parts of the vehicle. Now you're causing other stuff to tear up because you didn't go and get what you needed to keep the car going, to keep the car on the road. Well, it's the same thing with salvation. You're affecting other parts of your family. Your whole life is affected by the fact that you don't have any fuel. You are just like those virgins. You can be wise or you can be foolish. But this is your opportunity right now, today. You don't have to wait on anything or anybody. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Hey, who do we have on the line today?
Elaine Strawberry from Georgia.
Hi, Elaine Strawberry from Georgia. So glad Hi. You called.
I'm glad that I called. I'm at work at a mall here in Georgia, and I was listening to you while I was working. I said, let me call and say, it's been such a long time since I've been live and I've been on radio, but you are really blessing me this afternoon
Amen.
Here.
Amen. Amen. So, I appreciate
your word
you
is always powerful.
Amen. Amen. I want to encourage our listeners on today, Sister Strawberry, to not be foolish.
Well, you go ahead. It might be breaking up because I'm in the mall, like I said. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Now I can. I'm moving around here.
Okay, I said we're encouraging our listeners on today to not be foolish and to not be trying to drive a car with no fuel, as with our lives and salvation. Would you like to speak to that?
Well, also, you know, when I heard that don't be driving a car without a fuel, you know you're gonna get stopped and you're gonna have some issues. You're gonna
That's
get
right.
stranded. So that is That's very, right. very important. That just resonated to me. That hey, we got to get the word. We got to do more than, like you said, going to church and said I've been to church or speaking in a tongue. You mm-hmm. have to know without a doubt that you are saved. And if he comes back, hey, he's gonna get you. You're going with him. That's very important. It's very powerful today. So I'm encouraging everybody. Hey, don't be foolish.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling in, Sister Strawberry. We appreciate you.
God bless you and many blessings. I'm going to get back to work here.
All righty. God bless you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. We thank God for Sister Strawberry calling in on today. She said, you're going to be stranded if you don't stop and get the fuel that you need in order for your vehicles to run. We appreciate Sister Strawberry. The one thing that we don't want is to be somewhere on the side of the road when we had the opportunity to get fuel. The one thing that we don't want is to be somewhere stuck if we don't stop and get fuel. And that's what we don't want. We have an opportunity to give our lives to God. We have an opportunity to make Jesus our Lord and Savior. We don't know when he's coming back, but what I do know is when he comes back, I want to go with him. What I do know is that when he comes back, I don't want to be crying out, Lord, and he's saying, who are you? I don't know you. That's what I do know. If you'd like to call in again, that number is 888-627-6008. And we're talking today about our topic, no more foolishness. Stop with the foolishness, people. We can pretend all day long. We can look good on the outside all day long. But if you're empty on the inside, it doesn't matter what your outside looks like. Take the opportunity. Don't wait. Don't keep putting it off. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. You have to know that you learn a different level of gratitude when you have an understanding of what it is that you're doing and what it is that you have. So if you have a new car and somebody else bought it for you, the likelihood is you're not as grateful. Remember, you can't run on somebody else's fuel, because if they take the fuel out of their car to put it in yours, then what are they going to do? No, you got to get it for yourself. You've got to get it for yourself. When you stop and understand, this is between you and God. It's not about anybody else. You don't have time to point fingers at anybody else, but you've got to keep fuel in your own car. And if you don't, it won't go. I don't care what you try to do. It won't go. No matter how new it is. No matter how good it looks. No matter if you parked it by somebody else that has gas in theirs, it won't help you any. Don't go to church and continue to keep sitting on the pew and coming back out the same way. Don't go to church and you know that you're not saved and you walk back out the same way, assuming that you can do it the next time. You don't know if you have a next time. It's foolishness to just go to church and come back the same way. Foolishness is knowing the right thing to do, but then doing the wrong thing anyway. That's foolish. Foolishness is spending a lot of time to clean up the outside of your new car or dress up the outside when the inside is still a mess. That's foolishness. Foolishness is spending time trying to fool other people. And you know, on the inside, you're a hot mess. That's foolishness. Why are you trying to fool them? God already sees and knows. He knows all about you, inside and out. You're trying to appear sanctimonious, but forgetting that God knows the real you. Anybody with discernment can see you too. Just so you know, you really ain't fooling as many people as you think you are. They're just not saying anything. It's foolish to keep wiping down the outside and you don't have any gas in the car. It's foolish to go and put brand new rims on it. Brand new tires. You spraying it down. Tires shining. And you can't go nowhere because there's no gas in the car. It's foolish to keep playing this game over and over again, not knowing how much time you have. Don't be foolish. Don't be like the foolish virgins. They weren't prepared when the Lord came. You have the opportunity to be prepared right now. But know that it's foolish to not be prepared and you have an opportunity. You've been told. You've been advised. You've been warned. Think about Noah. Everybody knows the story about Noah and the ark. All while he was building this ark, people thought that Noah was crazy. But he was getting prepared because the Lord told him to. It took a long time before the actual rain came. He didn't even know when it was going to come, but he was given strict instructions on how to build an ark so that he and his family could be saved. The Lord even told him what animals to take with him. Take these animals with you two by two. He had strict instructions on how to make sure that his family was saved. No, it's not raining right now. No, it's not a flood right now. You don't even see a cloud in the sky right now. And I know somebody's thinking, oh, I got time. But there came a time when the storm came and it kept on raining and nobody was saved except Noah and his family. Because Noah heeded the warning. Noah built the ark with all the dimensions and the specifications, just like God said to do it. Because now, you know, if he had tried to do it his way, that boat wouldn't have made it, right? You know, if he had tried to do it his way, it might not have been big enough. It might not have held all the animals. It might not have held all of his family. If he had tried to take shortcuts or use different types of wood, other than doing what it is that God told him, they wouldn't have made it. And it's the same thing with us. You are not saved by works. You're not saved by doing things on your own specifications. You cannot be saved because you're cute. And on the outside, you look holy. You can't be saved by quoting and saying some things that saved folks say. You are not saved by, well, you know, I give to the poor. No, you have to utilize the specifications that Jesus left for us. And that is making Jesus your Lord and your Savior. That is confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And he came and he gave his life for us on a hill called Calvary. He hung, bled, and died just for you and me. Because God knew that there was no man that could be the propitiation for our sins. But Jesus was that lamb without spot or blemish. You have to accept that Jesus died on that cross and he got up on the third day with all power in heaven and earth given unto him. Make him your Lord and your Savior today. Stop with the foolishness. That's the only way that you can be prepared. You can't do this your way. And then when you give your heart to God, baptism is an outward show of your inward belief that your old man went down in the water and the new man rose again. Just like with Jesus, he went into the tomb, but he came out. When you go down in that water and you come up again, all your sins are washed away. It's symbolic of the old you dying out. And then when you finish with that and you accept the indwelling of his Spirit, that's where you receive your help. That's where you receive your comfort. That's what helps you not to stray to the left when you know to do right. No, none of us is perfect. But the Holy Ghost will remind you, don't do that. The Holy Ghost will tell you, forsake not the fellowship. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why do we go to church? We don't go to church because we're bored and it's something to do for 2 hours. We go to church because we love God and we want to continue to receive a word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach unless he be sent? God sends preachers after his own heart to give us the word that we need, to receive what it is that the Lord is saying to us, to help us to just run on a little while longer. God sends his word to encourage our hearts, because day to day you're going to have troubles. In this world, you will have trouble. But I want you to know that God will deliver. I want you to know that God keeps his word. And I want you to know, just like with these 10 virgins, the bridegroom is coming back for his church. You don't want him to say, I don't know you. He's coming back for those that belong to him. He's coming back for those that are his children. It's time to stop being foolish. Stop ignoring the indicators. Stop ignoring all the messages that you've received. Stop ignoring all the different people that keep inviting you to church, but you just decide to do it your way. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. No more foolishness. We have to stop the foolishness. Give God your life on today and let him change you from the inside out. And when you change from the inside out, your outward man will always be renewed day by day. Your outward man will always reflect what's on the inside. See, you can say all day long, well, I'm all right. Okay, then. But if there's not a change on the inside, it doesn't matter how much weave you buy, how much makeup you put on, how much you go and get your nails done. It don't matter how many gym memberships you get. You can look like an Adonis. You can be chiseled from head to toe, everything in place. But if there's no change on the inside, you're just foolish. You just got a shiny new car with no gas in it. And you'll be stuck somewhere like Sister Strawberry said, on the side of the road, stranded. Don't make that mistake. Don't ignore all the indicators. Pay attention to the indicators. Don't just assume that you have time. Don't just assume that this is just like the last time that you received a warning. Don't just assume that you're okay the way you are. Because your car looks just like everybody else's car, right? Yeah, but they got gas in theirs. And you don't. And don't just assume once you get saved that you don't have to remain maintained as you do with your shiny new car. You need maintenance. That's why we go and get the word of God. That's why we continue to fast and pray and keep our wicks trimmed. You need maintenance. Once you've been saved, go get your maintenance. Get what you need. Give your whole heart to God. Just like you take your car to the mechanic and just let them tell you everything that's wrong with it. You go ahead and knock it on out because you don't want to get one thing fixed, because it may affect other things if you just get one thing fixed and not everything. So for those who are already saved, get your full maintenance. Go in and let the manufacturer upgrade you or update you. Because you might have a car that's built from the 70s. You might have been saved a long time. But yes, even you need some maintenance. Let God talk to you. Walk with him. Stay with him. Truly put your hand in his hand. Stop with the foolishness. Now, we've come to the end of our show, but this is not the last opportunity for you to make changes and stop with the foolishness. Go to church somewhere tomorrow. If you don't have a church home, get one quick. You don't know how much time you have. And it's time for us to stop with the foolishness. And you don't want to be crying out, "Lord, Lord." And he says, "I don't know you." Make sure you're right with God. Don't worry about everybody else. And stop using as an excuse what everybody else is doing. Stop with the foolishness. If you're in the Jackson, Mississippi area and you don't have a good church home, stop by the Word Full Gospel Baptist Church. We're located at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive. We have some events coming up. The weekend of December 9th is installation weekend. December 9th, we have a banquet for retirement of our pastor, Dr. J.B. Williams. And December 11th, that Sunday, will be the installation of our new pastor, Elder Fred Stewart. I want to see you there. Now, you need tickets for the banquet on December 9th, and you can contact me for those. But you do not need a ticket for that Sunday, and we'll have food after. You are cordially invited. Now, December 9th, make sure that you all dress the part. I'll be somewhere in a nice little ball gown or something. So you guys make sure that you stop by and see me. And for those of you who would like to donate to Campbell Ministries, you may donate by writing to P.O. Box 16214 in Jackson, Mississippi. That's 39236. Again, that's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. Or you can go to my website and click on the donate button. I do thank you all so much for joining me. God bless you all, and God keep you is my prayer.